Hear the word of the Lord. You have wearied the Lord with your words. But you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years.
Mic check. There it is. All right, so one more time. Good morning, Jake, as well. Hello, hello. I am fresh off a plane from Tejas. It is so happy to be back in New Jersey. I actually mean that. I feel like 5 years ago, I would have said that just to, like, please you. But, yeah, I'm happy to be back in New Jersey. You know, yeah. No pandering this time. No pandering at all. Happy to be back, and I am excited to sort of be at the end of Advent here. This is our last sermon for this series, so I've been tasked with landing the plane, and I cannot wait to dive into Malachi. Before we get into the word of the Lord, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for the gift of your word. God, this morning we pray that your word can inspire us, that it can convict us, that it can embolden us to live the way you have called us to live. God, we cannot stress enough how much we need you. So our time this morning, God, I pray that it is spent truly wrestling with your word, grappling with this truth, and receiving revelation, God, so that we can know how to live the way you would want us to live, God. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. You know, I find it quite serendipitous that our last teaching in this series, but the first teaching of the new year, is in Malachi. Because Malachi is such a unique prophet. He's talking to the people of Israel after their exile in Babylon. And Malachi is serving as, in some ways, a practical theologian. He's trying to speak to this Israelite community to repair their relationship with God, right? Because as Scott just read, they're really questioning God, right? Verse 17 says, You have wearied the Lord with your words. You know, I love how God is so patient with us, but he still does not mind telling us to shut up. He doesn't mind doing that, does he? Right? And God's patience with us is there, but there are times when we exhaust God. Like, I'm exhausted by you because you keep speaking and you're failing to listen. Right? In Israel, like Israel does, they say, how have we wearied the Lord? Us, right? And Malachi says, well, this is what you've been saying. Everyone who does evil and good is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice? So if you ever thought that you were the only person to question God, to doubt God's goodness, you're not. You're actually in really good company. Israel has reached a moment in its history where they are truly doubting God. And this morning, Malachi shares with us a response to their groaning. And I love Malachi's response to their groaning because he responds with a promise, a future arrival of a Savior.
a future hope that will be rooted in Jesus Christ. And I love this because Malachi gives us insight into what we will receive as children of God, as those who have been saved by God. We will receive from the ministry of Jesus and the power of his teaching, we will receive insight. We will receive revelation into what it actually looks like to live as a human being. And the way we're going to figure this out is through the refiner's fire. I love the refiner's fire. And we're going to talk about what that actually means in a couple of moments. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a marathon runner. You know, marathon runners, they confound me, right? Because running 26 miles, it boggles the human imagination, right? It, in many ways, defies the law of nature that people do this. So I'm trying to really figure out, dude, how do you do this? Why and how do you run a marathon? How do you run 26 miles? You cramp, your heart's beating really fast out of your chest. And he's like, yes, it is really, really difficult. But see, when you're running these races, going into it, what you have to do is make peace with the pain. Make peace with the pain. Because the pain is not going to go away. The pain is going to be there, but you have to learn how to just be with it. How to struggle with it. How to run through it even when the pain comes. And he's telling me this, and I'm just not compelled at all to run a marathon in any way at all. I'm not compelled at all. But, you know, as I was thinking about this text this week, I said, wow. In many ways, as a Christian, right, in this marathon that we call life, Jesus is trying to compel us that when you are a follower of mine, we have to make peace with the fire. We have to make peace with being refined by him on a daily basis. We have to learn to just be with it, right? Being in relationship with Jesus means being refined by Jesus on a daily basis. And I don't think that God calls us to romanticize the fire. God doesn't want us to lie to him and be like, oh my God, I love the fire. No. Right? God wants us to be at peace with it. God wants us to show him that we trust him so much that we are willing to be refined even when it hurts because we believe genuinely that he knows best, that he knows what's best for us. And as we dive into our text this morning, I want us to remember that marathon image as we talk about the fire. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. So God responds to the Israelite people. He responds to their groanings with a future promise. He says in verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord host. The gospel writers understand this messenger to be someone specific. I'm going to be like Pastor Scott and do a little trivia here. Who is this messenger? Who do you think this messenger is? John the Baptist. There we go. John the Baptist. John the Baptist says in the gospels that this is me crying out. I am that voice in the wilderness to sing, make way for the Lord is near. John the Baptist is saying that. And Malachi foretelling of John's coming provides us with a unique bridge between the Old and New Testaments. It allows us to have a greater appreciation for Jesus in his coming, God manifested in the flesh. It's interesting too, right? Because Malachi responds to the people of Israel with a future promise. And it got me thinking about, what is the purpose of God's promises? Why do God's promises matter? I want to give you 3 points here. And we're going to get a look at me out here with slides. What are the purposes of God's promises? Let's go to number one. So when God gives us a promise, when we read about God's promises in his word for us, first thing that we should know is that God is present with us. So when God communicates with us about a promise, when he gives us a promise, right, that is God's way of saying that I see you. I am with you. You are not alone. I will not forsake you, right? You are seen by me. And because you are seen by me, I'm making you this promise, right? That's number one. Number two, God's promises grounds our hope in a glorious present and a future, and a glorious future. So what I love about God's promises is that it gives us something to look forward to, right? Because Israel here is not going to see Jesus when he comes, right? And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the promise of a future Savior grounds their hope that God will not forget them. God will be with them. God will deliver not just Israel, but all of humanity with the coming Savior. So when we think about God's promises, at times we have to say, Lord, thank you for this promise, because I might not have received it in its totality yet, but I know that it's coming because you are a promise keeper. A part of your identity as my God and as my Savior is that you do not lie. You are a promise keeper. Number three, God's promises also serve as a reminder of what God has already done. I love this point. So when we hear God make us a promise, right, there are times when we might say, I don't know, Lord, will you actually come through this time? Will you actually do this, right? And when we hear a promise from God, it should trigger within us a response of thankfulness for what he has already done for us, right? Because see, when we look back over our lives, we will be reminded of what God has already done. And by being reminded of what God has already done, it assures us that he will do it again in our future. I think about this like a person driving a car. We're driving a car and God gives us a destination. I'm going to give you this destination and I want you to go, right? Now, as we're on this, as we're on the road called life, trying to reach the destination that God has for us, there are going to be times when we doubt. God's going to tell us to make a right turn, and we'll be like, see, God, I think I know a better way. God, I think I know a shortcut. So why don't I go that way, right? Or, God, I think that way is too scary. There are too many speed bumps and road bumps and obstacles. I'm not sure about that way. And when we're driving on this road, just like when we want to make an exit, before we make an exit or before we make a turn to change lanes, we look in the rearview mirror. We look in the rearview mirror to make sure that no one is coming by us and no one is right beside us so that it's safe to switch lanes and do what we need to do. And in this road called life, God invites us to look in the rearview mirror of our lives. God says, I want you to look in the rearview mirror to show so that you can remember what I have done for you. And as you're looking in the rearview mirror, it reminds you what I have done. And now you look up and you notice that the pathway will be safe because I am your God. And because I am your God, I will come through for you as I have done so many times before. On this new year, as we go into a new year, right? The journey might seem steep. Life might seem hard right now. But I encourage you this morning to look in the rear view mirror. Do not forget the God that brought you through 2024. He will also bring you through 2025. The same God that has brought you through everything in your life is still your God. So be aware and always, when you seem confused, when you seem lost, God says, child, son, daughter, look in the rearview mirror. Look at it. And I love how the rearview mirror on the car is small because you ain't supposed to look that long. Don't look that long because you take your eyes off the road for too long. Look in that rearview mirror. Make sure it's safe. Remember what
I've done, and now let's go forward. It's time to go forward. God, through Malachi, gives the people of Israel a promise that allows them to see a bright future, not only for the nation of Israel, but for all of humanity. The future of a coming Savior, the arrival of a coming Savior. This is going to be the future that we can put our, that we can put our ultimate hope in. Don't forget to look in the rearview mirror. So these are the purposes of God's promises. Now, I want to get to this question Israel asked. They asked the question, where is this God of justice? My God today. Where is this God of justice? And you know what's interesting? So when we ask God these doubting questions, right? Sometimes the answer can be in the question. So they're asking, where is this God of justice? Right? And see, when they said the word justice, that should have triggered within them a memory of how God brought them out of a deep injustice when they were in Egypt, right? God showed up for them when they were in Egypt, experiencing injustice, and the God of justice set them free. So how quickly they forgot how God is a justice God within the period of their history. But so they asked this question. Where is this God of justice? And God's response is, it's coming through the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, okay. So the response and the reply is Jesus. So how is Jesus the solution and the answer to injustice? Here it is. Jesus is coming ultimately to overcome sin, to die to sin, so that we could have the power to overcome it ourselves. So God is in many ways saying that the source of all injustice in whatever form it takes is sin. And Jesus is coming to set us free from sin. So salvation is synonymous with justice. When we are saved by Jesus, we then have the power to overcome any injustice that is happening in our lives. That's the response. And Jesus performs this for us on the cross. Jesus dies for our sins. He dies to our sin on the cross. And when he dies for our sins, he dies to our sins. He proves that he is the most powerful human being to ever live, because he didn't just die to sin. He overcame death in the grave. And by overcoming death in the grave, he proved that his power is unmatched against anything, and that includes sin. So Jesus comes, he sets us free from sin, and the next question becomes, okay, now that we have been set free from sin, how then are we called to live as the people of God? How then are we called to truly embody the justice of God, the salvation of God? And that's where we get to the refiner's fire. I want to go to verse 2. Verse 2 says that, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, Israel, and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. You know, when it comes to suffering in our lives, when it comes to trials and tribulations, so often we view God sanctifying us, or the means of God sanctifying us, as a punishment, and we view it as something coming from shame, from deep shame, right? When the refiner's fire, God refining us, it is not meant to be a form of punishment. It is not for our punishment. is actually for our purpose. The refiner's fire is not for our punishment, it's actually for our purpose, right? Because when God is refining us, when we come to the Lord in salvation, right? God is saying that in order for you to become all that I want you to be, all that you are supposed to be, I gotta wipe these impurities off of you. These impurities that you have inherited because of sin, I gotta burn it away, right? And I gotta burn away these impurities by putting you through the fire. Just like that goldsmith. That goldsmith would take a piece of gold with all of the impurities on there, and he's putting it in the fire, taking it out, and as the impurities are washing away, he's happy about it. But he's not ultimately satisfied because he cannot see a clear reflection of himself just yet. So he keeps putting it in the fire. That goldsmith puts it in the fire until he can see a full reflection of himself. So as God is putting us through the fire, it is not because he doesn't love us. It's actually the direct opposite. It's not because he's punishing us. He's putting us through the fire because he wants to see himself fully in you. He says, I want to see my love fully manifested in you. I want to see my patience fully manifested in you. I want to see my grace, my mercy. I want to see my power fully manifested in you. So therefore, I got to put you through the fire in order for you to become the spouse that I want you to be. In order for you to become the parent that I want you to be, I gotta put you through the fire so that you have all of the fruits of the Spirit fully manifested within your being so that you can fully live into your purpose and callings that you have in life. Fully. God is not punishing you. He's simply looking for himself in you. That's what he's looking for. I want to see my full reflection in you. And that is why I have to refine you over and over again. And I feel like sometimes we say, why do I keep having to learn the same lesson over and over again? Over and over again. And God's like, you ain't learned it fully yet. Not yet. You learning though. But you don't fully have it yet. And see, God says, I don't want you to miss who you're supposed to be. So I cannot be satisfied with who you are right now. I can't be satisfied with less than myself. I can't be satisfied with it. Because see, less than myself is sin. And I would never be satisfied with any amount of sin in your life. So I got to refine you over and over again. And church, this is where, like that runner, we got to be at peace with it. We got to be at peace with it, right? We got to be at peace with going through things in our lives and being refined by God. And I'm not talking about, when I say suffering, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about grave and violent injustice, right? I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about the daily experiences that really get you peed off. I ain't gonna say the full word, but it gets you peed off, right? When your kids talk back to you and you wanna just do something to them, you being refined, baby. Oh, when that spouse of yours, I mean, pee you off and you like, get out of my house. You don't say it, though, because you're being refined. When that person on your job, not at Jacob's Well, I love my coworkers. I love my folks, not at Jacob's Well. When they're on your job, they're getting on your nerves. You're being refined. Because, see, the process by which we become holy has to include us fundamentally dying to things that are not of God. That's how we become holy, right? And see, even though we are maturing in our faith, God is always going to say, I'm not just after your maturity, I'm after your complete transformation, right? I'm after you transforming fully into who I have called you to be. And that is why refining is so vitally important. And I also want to say this. When it comes to being at peace with being refined, right? When it comes to just being okay with it, I find that chasing after the presence of God truly is fun.
All right, yo, so my trainer, I really wasn't on, that's crazy. All right, I wasn't on, I was just up here screaming. I was up here screaming. So the friend of mine was telling me how anything you want is on the other side. So I'm like, okay, what do you mean? So bro, whatever is worth having, you gotta go through something. It's gonna require some form of discipline and focus if you really want it. So he's like, yo, when I'm in a race, this is what I tell myself. He's like, everything you want is on the other side of hard. Now go get it. And I was like, whoa, I'm about to run a marathon. Let me find out. He was like, everything you want is on the other side of hard. Now go get it. Now I was like, okay. God was like, now, Jalen, everything you want is through the fire. Now go get it. Go get it. Oh, y'all have a response to them right there. That's wild. That's wild. Y'all like, I want that fire though. But he's like, everything you need for your life is through the fire. Now you're like, okay, how do I go get it? Because I ain't gonna run no marathon to get it. How do I go get it? So the way we go get it as people of God is through spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines, right? Pray. So when you're going through it, when you're being refined and you feel it, like, oh my God. God is burning something away in my life, in my soul, and woo, I feel it right now. I feel it because I'm frustrated. I feel it because I'm annoyed. I feel it. I feel such a conviction. What do I do to go get it? I pray, Lord, change my mind. Change my worldview. Change my perspective so that I can see the way you see. So that I can walk the way you want me. Well, change me, oh God, and help me see the way you see. That's number one. Don't pray. You gotta go pray. Go get it. Another thing. You gotta be in that word, man. Can I tell y'all something about the word of God? The word of God be clutch. It's clutch. Can I tell y'all? So we'll be going through something in life, right? And we'll be going through it, and it's like, how do I navigate this? How do I think about this? And see, if you in your word, fam, the word of God will just come to you. And it'll be like, okay, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and you'll be slow to anger. This person that's annoying you, before you get mad, be slow to speak, don't respond just yet. Quick to listen. Let me hear what they're actually saying. And as I'm listening and I'm processing and I'm slow to speak, my response will be more healthy and productive for the situation. That's clutch. The word of God be clutch, man. So if you in the word, right, The word of God will allow you to navigate your refining process in a much smoother way. That's number two. Number three, I wrestle with this jump right here, man. So God told me this week, man. He was like, another you gonna get it, Jalen? Fasting. Uh-oh. Ain't gonna get an amen on that? Fasting. Yo, we fast, Jake, as well, what, twice a year? And that's it for me. I don't fast. That's it. That's my quota. And God was like, yo, when you fast, and this is me, Jalen, when you fast and you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you say? Lord, help me get through this day. That's the first thing I say. And God's like, Jalen, imagine if you had that automatic posture every single day of your life. And yeah, God be, you have to do me like that. You know what I'm saying? Imagine though, right? And see, fasting forces us in a place of surrender in a such a unique way. And it's a shame that as a church, not just as well, but as a capital C church, that we just don't take advantage of it more. So God was like, one way for you to go get it. Because see, when you're being refined by God, you need to hear his voice. I need to hear what God is saying. And one of the best ways to position myself to go get it, to hear God's voice, is fasting. It's fasting, right? So in this new year, my challenge to you, church, is one, praying through this mentality that I got to make peace with being refined. That's number one. I got to make peace with it. And you know what else? Matter of fact, I want you to be bolder. Let's be bolder than that. Let's pray, Lord, I want you to refine me. Refine me, oh God. Now, who, Lord? I'm like, Lord, do I want to be refined? I want to be refined. Now, once you pray that prayer, that mentality, everything you want is through that fire. Now go get it. Go get it, man. Go get it. Pray your way through it. Be in your word. Fast. And I mean fast, right? And ain't nothing wrong with being refined in community, right? If you're struggling and you're really wrestling with what God is doing in your heart, let God speak to you through God's people. Let him do it, right? We're not called to be refined alone. We're not called to be refined in isolation, right? Allow God to speak to you through God's people. And then finally, I'm going to say it one more time, fast. My encouragement to you, truly, church, I would encourage you to fast once a month. Once a month. Take a day and don't eat. Don't eat nothing. And allow yourself to be in a place of surrender for that day. Because on that day, you're going to be like, Lord, the only way I can make it through this day, truly, your spirit has to fill me up. And see, here's the thing. This year, right, allow God to really speak to you, right? God be talking, but like Israel, we don't be listening. We don't be listening, man. And it's like the reason we don't be listening is because we don't put ourselves in position to listen, right? And that's what God is after. He's after your. He's like, you say you can't hear me, but bro, sis, what's your posture? Get your posture right. You can't hear me like this talking. You got to hear me like this on your knees in complete surrender, listening, right? Can I get up? I can get up. Right? These pants kind of tight, man. But that's how we listen. So put yourself in position to hear God. Fast once a month, man. And starting right now. We 4 days in. Figure it out. Once a month. And y'all know me. I know y'all going to do this anyway. Ask me. Yo, Jay, you fast, bro? Yikes. I got you, though. You know what I'm probably going to say to you? Let's fast this week. That's probably what I'm going to say to you. That probably means I'm going to be fasting all doggone year. I'm going to be fasting every single week of the year. And that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. If I got to do it, I got to do it. But let's check in with each other, right? You fast, bro? Fast. Put yourself in position to go get it. to make it through the refining process. Being refined is what it means to be in relationship with Jesus. This is what it means, man. Being a Christian is a life of being refined. It ain't about having material success. It ain't about reaching some American dream. It's about becoming more like Jesus every single day of our lives. It's about following Jesus and becoming more like being a true disciple, right? That's what it means to be refined. On this first Sunday of the new year, I want to take some time for us as a church community to reflect and contemplate as we head into a new year. We're going to do this thing called a prayer of examine. I don't know if y'all heard of that before. We've done it as a staff many, many times. Can you put that slide up, Tim? So this is the first slide here. I know y'all can't see it. Don't come for me. I know you can't see it. So this is, I would encourage you to take a picture of this. And I would encourage you to do this this week, right? So these are all the steps. And we're going to go through these steps one by one, okay? One by one, we're going to do it right now. But this is going to be the progression of the prayer of examine for the new year. And this is how we're going to go through it, right? I'm going to guide us through it, and we're going to go through it, all right? I encourage you to take a picture of that. All right, Tim, let's go to that first slide. All right, let's get quiet. Let's quiet our hearts before the Lord. This is like a daily office ritual. Place yourself in God's presence, right? Place yourself in God's presence. Here we go. As you place yourself in God's presence, give thanks for God's great love for you. Have a heart of gratitude right now. Place yourself in God's presence and give thanks for God's great love for you. Take about 10 more seconds and we're going to go to the next move. All right, Tim, let's go to the next slide. All right, now we're going to move into a time of prayer. Right now, I want you to pray for the grace to understand how God is acting in your life. Pray for the grace to understand how God is acting and moving in your life. Let's go to God in prayer. Take about 10 more seconds. We'll go to the next slide. Let's go to the next slide, Tim. Now I want to take a look in the rearview mirror of your life this past year. I want you to recall specific moments and events that happened this year. No qualifiers. Just think of some specific moments and events that happened this past year. Recall those things. Take a look in the rearview mirror of your life and recall specific moments and events that happened this past year. Take about 10 more seconds. We're going to go to the next slide. Let's go to the next slide, Tim. Now, I want you to reflect on your experience of those events you just reflected about. I want you to reflect on how you reacted to them. Did you feel you were drawing closer to God or further away? Reflect on your experience of those events and how you reacted to them. Did you feel you were drawing closer to God or further away? Let's take time. Take about 10 more seconds. We're going to move to the next slide. Let's go to that last slide, Tim. So this is the last movement. As you look ahead to this next year, I want you to think about and pray about right now, how can you make more room in your life to surrender to God's plan for you? Think of two specific steps you can take to trust God more, let him lead, and follow him more faithfully. As you look ahead to this next year, how can you make more room in your life to surrender to God's plan for you? Think of two specific steps you can take to trust God more, let him lead, and follow him more faithfully. Take that time. Take about 10 more seconds, and we're going to end our time with prayer. Let's close it in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we want to thank you so much just for this time to pause,
space to just say thank you, Lord. Space to really ponder and think about how we react to situations in our lives, how we respond to situations in our lives, and reflect on how those events and experiences impact our relationship with you. God, my prayer for this church, my prayer for our community here, is that you show us windows in our days, God, to pause and do this. Show us, oh Lord, how to stop, how to pause, how to ponder of your goodness, ponder on your grace, and Lord, how to truly, truly take active steps in following you. God, we need you desperately. We cannot live this life without you. We cannot be who we're supposed to be without you, oh God. So our prayer is not only that you refine us, oh God, that you help us make peace with it, and that you help us go get it. Go get what we need through the refining process so that we can be all that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, I do pray, amen.